So what about you? What brings you joy? What gives you joy? How do you experience joy in your life? Family, all right. We've experienced great joy this past year as we got our family all together. And, you know, weddings, isn't that a great time of joy? We got to experience that this year. And the birth of a child. I mean, we hear that in the Christmas message. I bring you this good news of great joy, for unto you a child is born. And over the years, we've been able to experience that, first with our 7 children of our own, and then with 10 of our grandchildren experience the announcement of great joy. Yeah, we have it's a boy, it's a girl, right? Mostly it's girls, but you can experience joy in so many ways. But today, we hear of a joy far greater than anything that is humanly possible. I love this quote by David Mathis. Christmas is not normal joy. Christmas, the gospel say, is great joy. Christmas is not natural joy, but supernatural. You were made for the great joy of Christmas. Well, let's unpack that this morning. We read from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. I invite you to grab your Bibles. We're going to look at a few other verses in 1 Peter. So if you have a Bible, grab one and turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 8. We're just going to look at 2 verses to start with. And we'll throw a few more verses in there. If you don't have a Bible of your own, grab the one in the pew rack in front of you. It's a nice large print one, and the page number for that is in your bulletin. So let us hear God's word, 1 Peter 1, verses 8 and 9. I read in Jesus' name. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Heavenly Father, help us to understand and receive and live out, and or rather live in your joy as you impact our lives through your word, through this promise that we can take and receive and then live out in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, we heard about the gift of abiding love. We're going through a series of messages on the gift of the incarnation. And that word incarnation, as we said a few weeks ago, is just a fancy word that means in flesh. In John 1:14, it says, the word became flesh and lived among us, literally tented out among us, camped among us. And we beheld his glory. Glory is of the only Son of the Father. And so last week we looked at abiding love, and this week we will discover the gift of inexpressible joy. Last week we heard Jesus' words from John 15:11. These things I have spoken to you, these things meaning things about his love, his abiding love, so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be filled. Joy flows from love. It is the overflow of true love. Joy also flows from hearing good news. As we heard this morning, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Joy is the emotion of great delight or happiness caused by something exceptionally good or satisfying. All people have an innate, natural longing for joy. People all over the world are searching for joy. That longing, that ache in our heart to experience joy is built into us by our Creator, so that we will long for something that all the joys of this world cannot fulfill. And yet, they continually tug on our hearts. This joy is something that is found only in God Himself. So joy is the emotion of great delight and pleasure that wells up from deep within and gives you the sense that you've experienced a glimpse of heaven. You see, if you're looking for joy, deep joy, satisfying joy, indescribable joy, you must find it through Jesus. Today we heard the announcement of joy which God made long ago through the angelic messenger. It is this joy that God still brings to all people through the Savior who is Christ the Lord. I want you to experience that joy. I say it again, if you're looking for joy, deep joy, lasting joy, indescribable joy, you must find it through Jesus Christ. We do chance upon joy in this life, even apart from Jesus. We do find joy in the beauty and pleasures of this world and in the people that God has given us in relationships. And there's times when even the greatest pagan will experience joy. And God wants us to experience those joys because they are planted in our hearts to give us a longing for something that is a greater joy, because no joy on this earth is going to fully satisfy us and always leaves us longing for some greater joy. So God wants us to experience these joys because God hides Himself in these joys, waiting to be discovered. But such joy is always fleeting, vanishing, leaving a longing for something more, something richer, something fuller, something deeper, more satisfying and meaningful, and certainly more lasting. And so we find crumbs of joy in the beauty and pleasures and relationships of this world, but we don't realize the extravagant banquet table of God's joy from which these crumbs have fallen. All the joys together in this life are but crumbs from the table of the great banquet of God's joy. The angels proclaim the joy of Jesus, and that joy can be ours as well. As we said, it is the joy of love. And 1 Peter chapter 1, 8 says, though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and rejoice with a joy that is inexpressible and full of glory. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. That's almost verbatim what Jesus said to doubting Thomas. So you believe because you've seen? Blessed are those who have not seen Me and yet believe. God has that blessing, but we believe and we love Him because when we put our faith in Jesus Christ through hearing the proclamation of the Word, it is God Himself who comes to us through this message and kindles faith in us so we can believe. And in believing, we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. To those who believed in Him, who received Him, who believed on His name, He gave the right to become children of God. And so we begin a relationship with Him, and it's a relationship of love, abiding love, as we talked about last week. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in My love. And these things I've spoken to you, that My joy may be in you, and your joy may be complete and full. And so we experience the joy of love. Not a romantic love, but a deep, abiding, sacrificial love God has shown for us through Jesus Christ. So it is a joy of love, but it's a joy of believing. And believing is the entrance into that. Though you have not seen Him, you believe in Him and rejoice with a joy that is inexpressible and full of glory. In Romans 15:13, may the God of hope, it says, fill you with all joy and peace in believing. And it is through believing the message of what God has promised us, a Savior has been born. It's in that message of believing that we are filled with His joy. So why is believing So important. Well, Hebrews tells us, Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Believing in faith is so important to our joy because indeed it is a partial joy that we experience now of a future joy. Though you do not see him, you believe in him. We rejoice in a future joy, a joy that of being with him forever in heaven. Faith lays hold of the joy of the future. Christmas takes a future joy, the joy of heaven, and it breaks into our everyday difficult circumstances and gives us a glimpse of heaven. That's what happened to those shepherds out there. All of a sudden, they're there working the night shift. It's dark, and heaven breaks open. Heaven spills out of that night. It's filled with a brilliant light and glorious singing. Heaven just came and broke through into their darkness that night, into the monotony of that night, and brought them a glimpse of heaven. And that's what joy is. Joy is experiencing in the present what God has promised in the future. Joy is laying hold of this joy of heaven right now. And so we are filled with the joy which is beyond our poor human utterance to express. We are not able to express this joy, a joy that's inexpressible, because it is evoking a reality beyond our human experience. We can't describe it because we haven't fully experienced it yet. It's just tugging on our hearts. It's a longing for this joy of heaven. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 7, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. And then it goes on and talks about this joy that we're filled with. It is a joy of heaven itself. It's the joy that we know we're going to be receiving this inheritance. And that brings us to the next point. It is the joy of salvation. A salvation that comes through believing the promises of God. Putting our trust in who Jesus is. And so it is a joy that is inexpressible and full of glory. That we are receiving, it says, obtaining the outcome of our faith, literally the goal of our faith. And what's that goal of faith? Well, it's to be with the Lord forever in heaven. We are receiving the end result. And we get it partially now. We can experience part of that joy right now. And one of the great joys that I have as a pastor is seeing someone come to faith in Jesus Christ and then experiencing joy. Is that true, Sally? Yeah. And Leslie, it's a joy that wasn't there before. All the earthly joys aren't going to compare with this joy that nothing in this world can give us, and nothing in this world can take it away from us. So we have this joy, a joy of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Isaiah 12:3, I love this verse. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. It's a word picture. You know, and people living in a parched environment. I lived in California for a while, and believe me, it gets dry out there. There's two seasons in Northern California, wet and dry. In the winter it rains, in the summer it doesn't. And in the summer, after a few weeks, everything just dries up. And to have a well, to be able to go down deep and have flowing, fresh, clean, clear, cold water in a dry place. That's the picture that's given to us from the Holy Lands, from that drier region. With joy, you will draw waters from the wells of salvation, and God's well is limitless. It just comes and comes and flows and flows. David prayed in Psalm 51, verse 12, restore to me the joy of your salvation. There is joy in salvation. But that joy in salvation comes in spite of the trials we're going through. Coming to faith in Jesus Christ, believing in him, does not remove the problems we're going to face in this life. In fact, it may intensify them. I was reading about Christians in China, and the communist government of China is cracking down on churches. They want them to do certain things, even teaching about the joys of communism from their pulpits. And, of course, pastors won't do that, and they're being arrested. Churches are being closed down. Churches in the town of Chengdu, where one of our Lutheran Brethren missionaries has been working in a non-governmental organization trying to reach and help needs of people there in that very city, where one of our daughters visited a number of years ago with Moody Bible Institute. In that city, a church that has 5,000 people worshiping there every week has been shut down just in the last few weeks. Their pastor arrested, most of their leadership arrested. The pastor knew that this was coming. He wrote a long letter. He gave it to different members, and he says, when I'm arrested, you read this letter and get it out to the media. He knew it was coming. It would be like me saying, this church could be closed down. We might not be able to be here tomorrow night for Christmas Eve. I might be spending Christmas Eve in jail. I can't even hardly imagine that, but that's the reality of Christians around the world today. So hundreds of Christians will spend their Christmas this year in prison. But you know what? That pastor said, you can imprison me, you can torture me, but you can't take away my joy. You can't take away my hope, because it's in Jesus and it will never perish, spoil, or fade. It's reserved in heaven for you, as we read from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. It is a joy that cannot be taken away. I love Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. It's given me hope in times when things seem to have been falling apart. Habakkuk's writing in a situation where there is an imminent invasion of a foreign nation, and he's just questioning God. God, why do you want to do this? I know we're wicked, but how can you use a more wicked nation to punish your people? And so Habakkuk finally comes down to this. In the last chapter, he writes, though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. Peter writes about this joy that is indescribable, inexpressible, and full of glory, but he writes that in the context of going through trials. Again, listen to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, talking about the inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. In this you rejoice. In this salvation you rejoice, though now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. He's writing to people that, like the Chinese church, that are going through persecution, that are going through trials, that are going through difficulties and suffering. But he continues saying, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And then it goes on to the verses we've talked about today. Though you do not see him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with a joy that is inexpressible and full of glory. Full of glory. Richard Lenski, a Bible commentator, says, we are not yet glorified. We're not fully who we are going to be. We're going to have received glorified bodies in heaven. We are not yet glorified, but our joy is. For we have tasted the powers of the age to come. We've tasted the fruit of what's to come. And God has brought it into our presence, and that's the joy of Christmas. That is the joy of the incarnation of God with us, our Emmanuel. We've experienced lots of joys in our family. We've also experienced lots of struggles. and some suffering at times. And that's going to be true for all of us. But the joy of Jesus, the joy of Christmas, is a joy you were made to experience because we were created for God. We were created by God for Him. He wants us to experience His joy because He is full of joy. Joy is what heaven's going to all be about. And He wants to bring that joy into your lives right now, just as a foretaste of the glory to come. A joy that we can't describe because, well, it's a joy that we're not going to be able to describe when we're in heaven. I mean, I like to think that we're going to spend the first couple millennia of heaven in heaven. When we get to heaven, I think we're going to spend a couple thousand years just catching our breath. I mean, it's going to be like this. You know, we're not even going to speak. It's a joy inexpressible and full of glory. Listen to this. I end with Jude 1, 24 to 25. To Him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before His glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ before all ages, now and forevermore. Do you think He gets excited about that? I hope you do too. May the joy of Jesus, the joy of Christmas, be yours now and forever by faith in Him. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, yes, we experience glimpses of joy in this world You have made, and it's places where You want us to discover You, for You are the source of all joy. But Lord, help us not ever to be content with the crumbs of joy when You want to spread before us a banquet of joy. Lord, we know that that is a foretaste of something yet to come, and yet we can experience it right now. Oh, Lord, may we all hear this morning the joy of the angels that came from the presence of God, and we're so excited to give this good news of a mega joy for all people, including us. Oh, Lord, if there's anyone here today that's never received this message with joy, who've never put their faith and trust personally in Jesus Christ, who've never said, yes, Lord, I believe that Jesus came as my Savior to die for my sin, to be raised for my justification, for my salvation. Oh, Lord, I cry out to You. I know that You died for me. I ask You to come into my heart and into my life that I might receive You as my Savior and Lord. And Lord, come into my heart and bring Your joy through Your salvation. Oh, Lord, I believe in understand that You rose from the dead so that I can experience forever the joy of heaven. Oh, Lord God, may we all experience and receive Your joy today. In Jesus' name, amen.